Well, before I begin the message for today, there's two things I want to briefly mention. One, we've been talking a lot about saying thank you around here, and one of the things we certainly don't want to miss is saying thank you to our veterans, those who've served in the military through the years and are presently serving. We are thankful that we enjoy the life that we do and we have the worship to freedom to worship because of the gifts and sacrifices of so many who have served. So we say thank you. The second is, you'll notice there's a green bifold in your bulletin, give by serving. That's part of, we do this every now and then. We really want to know where people are interested in serving. We want to get people in the right place for the right reason. So as part of our stewardship campaign, we invite you to fill one of these out. And how we use this is we enter this into a database, and let's say we're looking for somebody who loves gardening because we have a gardening project, then we call on you. So this is really helpful for us to know, and it's really great to get connected in an area that you are gifted at, you enjoy, and you're passionate about. Well, I want to start out the message today with a little exercise. I want you to fold your arms in front of you. All right. Now, I want you to glance down and look at how you've placed your arms. Take a look. And now I want you, if your left arm is on top, I want you to do the exact opposite in your arm placement. So how did that feel? It's a little awkward, isn't it? Because there's a way that we're used to doing things, and if we try to do things differently, it takes some adjusting to. So we kind of have this natural style in so many ways in our life, including crossing our arms. You know, I was playing basketball a few years ago down our gym, and I was just getting ready to do one of my behind-the-back master dunks. I was blatantly fouled, and I hit the floor, and I put my arm out, and my wrist, I thought it was broken, but it was severely sprained. I mean, it was swelling, and so we go to the hospital. What's the first thing they do at the hospital? They hand you a form and ask you to fill it out, you know? So I'm like, I can't even hold a pen in my hand, so I took my left hand, I'm right-handed, I took my left hand and I tried to fill out my form and then I tried to sign my name. I mean, how many of you have ever done anything like that? Isn't it awkward? And so I'm thinking, are left-handed people just better? Are they more gifted? And the left-handed people I know say yes, right? How many left-handers out there? Yeah, so are you more gifted? Yes. No, not really. All right. This is the style thing, and God has given us different styles, different ways of doing things. God has wired each of us uniquely and a little different, and that's a really, really good thing. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about, you know, the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were each observing the same exact thing, the life of Christ. They walked with Christ. They were part of Christ's ministry, but when they wrote their accounts, they each wrote them a little differently. John wrote in a more depth of feeling. He was an emoter, you know, more emotional. And Luke was a scientist. He was actually a medical doctor. And so he looked at things from a more scientific perspective, and that made an impact on how he saw and experienced and how he expressed what he had seen. You see, your God-given personal style is impacted by what you've experienced and how you see things and how you understand things. And it's important for us to understand that all of us are a little different. And your style, when combined with your passion and your spiritual gifts, help you to understand where and what and how God can use you. It helps you to find that, you know, that sweet spot in your life. Your spiritual gifts indicate what you will do to serve. God wants you to serve in your area of giftedness. For example, I have never been asked to join the choir. I don't know why. Abel and I were doing a funeral on Thursday night, and he said, Mark, move away from the mic, because they're hearing your singing. I know that's not my gift. God wants me to serve where I'm passionate, where I'm gifted. And your passion tells you where you're best suited. God wants you to serve in an area that you're really excited about, that you're really passionate about. He's wired you in that way. Now, some of you may be more verbal, and you're better at using words, so you want to do that. Some of you may be more quiet and reserved, and you prefer to carefully think things down before you speak. You might prefer writing to speaking as a way of communicating. It's part of your style. And personal style sometimes is referred to as temperament or personality. It describes your most natural way of relating to others. Your personal style is unique, and it energizes you. And a part of figuring out the puzzle of who God created you to be and accepting that style that God has given you is understanding that. Well, in our scripture reading for today, the Apostle Peter is instructing Christians to be a good manager of the gifts that God has given to them. In order to be good managers, it's important for us to know not only the gifts we've been given that directs us what we should do, but also to pay attention to our passions and where we should serve, and then our style on how we should use our strengths that God has given to us. Now, I wanted to give you a little better handle on this. And last night, I had people fill it out during the sermon. Let me tell you, that was a train wreck. So at the 9, I didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it at the 11. But I want you to take out this little sheet of paper, and it says, Understanding Your Style. And what I want you to see is there's kind of two sections. One is the top section is, how are you organized? And the first question is, while on vacation, I prefer to. And if you're spontaneous, you'll circle a 1. And if you like to follow a set plan, you'll circle a 5. And at home, and this is kind of a neat exercise to do with your family, because sometimes you see yourself a little differently than they do, so that's kind of insightful. But sometime this week, take this and go down through the first part. It talks about how you're organized. And then the second part is how you're energized. And the first question there is, I'm more comfortable in doing things for people, or I'm more comfortable with being with people. So if you'll do that little exercise, and then on the back, you can kind of chart where you're at. On the top is the task oriented, the orientation, the up and down column. Just kind of mark where you're at on that. And then on the one across, where you're energized, and then you see where those two intersect, and you kind of mark and you say, you know, this is kind of where I'm naturally styled, what my natural style is. Did you all get that? See, you're all much brighter than the 5:30, right? Don't tell a 5:30 I said that. I did mine, and just kind of a little example, I tend to be more task-oriented. I love when the trains and planes fly on time. I love an organization that really functions well, and I tend to be a little more structured. And that helps me to identify, you know, what are you really good at, and what are areas that other people might be better at, and you need to take, you know, think about that when you decide how you're going to do things. Well, I want to give you a little example. It's always fun to observe couples when they plan to do something, and I want to take a couple, just for example, Terry and Carla, and they've decided they're going to go on a vacation, and they're going to be driving from Syracuse to Dallas. Now, Terry just wants to throw some things in a duffel bag and put it back in the back of the car and head south and see how that goes. And Carla wants to go online, and she wants to MapQuest everything, and she wants to read all the reviews on the hotels that they'll be staying, and then she wants to make the reservations, she wants to look at the points of interest along the way, and then she puts together a very detailed, thought-out itinerary. Does that sound like any of you? You don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes this is how couples work. So the thing to understand is, Sometimes when you have everything all planned out, you miss the spontaneous, don't you? You know, if you've got to have everything planned out, there are things that you discover, and when you explore, and sometimes you find neat things and off-the-way places when you get lost. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And it's certainly not a bad thing when you have things planned out and structured. But the main question here is, you know, how are you organized? And how do you work together with other people? And how do those skill sets and those styles work together? Here's another little illustration. A guy by the name of Greg, he's an elder at the church, and not for real, this is, you know, pretend. But he loves spending time with people. So he'll make sure he's 15 minutes early to the meeting, and he wants to talk with friends, and he wants to catch up on their lives, and he's really not that interested in all the details on the agenda. It gives him enthusiasm, and it gives him energy with just spending time with people. And then there's Sharon, who's like, well, let's get down to the agenda. Let's make sure we cover this. Are we done? And then we have this little time where we can talk, and it's all, you know, kind of neat and printed out, and that gives her comfort. That's kind of her style. Now, is there anything wrong with either of those? No, but the important part is just understanding, you know, how your style works and how you fit in and how you work together. And you're probably not one or the other. You're probably somewhere in between. So if you look on that chart, you kind of get an understanding of your personal style and how that works with others. Now, what I hope you'll take from this today is just a little better idea of your style. Do your homework. Think about it. How has God wired you? And how does that understanding help you to find your own personal sweet spot where you can put the gifts that God has given you to use? You know, it's energizing when we're in the right place for the right reason. And to learn how other people are wired and appreciate it, because it really does take all different kinds of gifts and passions and temperaments and styles to make that puzzle come together with all the pieces. I'm going to give you just a quick illustration from my own life. As some of you may know, I started serving in a church when I was 18, a freshman in college, and I worked at this church working with the youth group. And during the first 2 years I was there, I worked with a pastor by the name of Dr. Gaines. His first name was Posey. We call him Pastor Posey. And he was just the greatest guy in the world. He was jolly, and he was a lot of fun. And you ever know those people are just master schmoozers? I mean, they just can talk to anybody, anywhere. They love hanging out with people. And he was incredible at that. And we loved him. But to be honest, his sermons, it was painful. He just was not a great preacher. And there wasn't any creativity, and people kind of, they said, well, you know, he's a great guy and all that. Well, the end of my sophomore year, Dr. Gaines left, and he went to work for the denomination, an area minister, and he raised money for missions. He was fantastic with that, because all he did is meet with people, and the office kind of ran all the financial stuff, and it all worked. He found his sweet spot. But what I found kind of interesting is when the search committee formed to find the next pastor, what do you think their number one criteria was? They weren't looking for Mr. Warm and personality. They wanted a great preacher. They got one. A guy by the name of Ed Dorsey. His sermons were amazing, well thought out, incredible theology, incredible biblical scholar. But a people person? He was not. He was a scholar. And his favorite way of spending time was to hide away in his study and read and write. And he was an incredible speaker. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever run into some of the people who are really good in drama, and maybe they're introverts, you know, one-on-one or in a small group, but you get them on stage and wow. And that was Ed. But he was like this extreme introvert. He didn't only dislike chit-chat. If he saw people gathering and talking, he went the other way. Now, I had the opportunity to work with both, and both were incredible. They were incredible people. They had their strengths, and they had their weaknesses. But both were faithful servants who were actively seeking to use their gifts and their passions and their personal styles for the sake of God's kingdom. Now, quite often I'd hear people who would say, well, you know, Dr. Gaines and Dr. Dorsey, no. The point is, nobody has it all. Nobody. God has wired everyone just a little differently in their gifting, in their passions, and in their styles. And that's the beauty of God's body. All of us bringing those unique puzzle pieces together that isn't complete without all the other pieces. Nobody has it all. So there's no reason to beat yourself up for what you're not. There's an incredible power to understanding and appreciating who God wired you to be, and to know that there is a place for you. Now, we all know we live in a very competitive culture where people put in a lot of energy into comparing themselves to other people and trying to outshine other people. But really, that's kind of a form of neediness that's destructive to yourself and to community. Instead, there's this power to appreciating how we're wired, how others are wired, and how we truly need each other, how we need all the pieces of the puzzle to be the body of Christ. Now, today we come together to share communion. And we come not because we have it all together, not because we have all the gifts, not because everything is all together in our life, but because it's not. We are all in need of God's grace. And as we take that piece of bread that represents the body of Christ, and as we drink from the cup that represents Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, we not only accept our imperfectedness, but we come on bended knee to the one who makes us complete and whole in God's eyes. And that's really what matters. So as we sing our communion hymn, there's a question of understanding. I really want you to pay particular attention to the words in the second verse, and it goes like this: that our brothers and our sisters feel the oneness that he brings. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you love and feed us, and for the many ways that you lead us.